Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity, going to live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and products page. Click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Trung Chang. I'm sorry, joining me today. How you doing today, Trung?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on, Tommy.
Absolutely. That's a tongue twister for me. Trung Chang.
That does rhyme. Yeah. No problem. That's okay. No, absolutely okay.
Thank you very much for joining me today. And it's a pleasure and honor to have you. You have an amazing story. I think your story is going to be very enlightening to a lot of our audience today. So for those folks who don't know you, can you just briefly introduce yourself and what it is that you do?
Sure. My name is Trung Chang. I'm the CEO of Ampio.ai. And we build AI systems to help people perform well by making them ready, mentally focused, emotionally stable, and physically able is what we call it. And so that's kind of what we're doing. I'm leading this company as we go to our next stage. We're having a big study with University of Maryland as we look at see how people transition from remote work to full to on-site work, and how to deal with the emotional and mental challenges of that transition. Absolutely. Now, we're not light switches, so you can't get rid of trauma and everything's back to 2019 again. There's going to be some transition, and we're helping Maryland navigate that.
Absolutely. I'm glad you guys are doing that, because that's going to be a very interesting study, as a lot of our world has really shifted and changed since 2019 as well. Now, Trung, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to contact you?
You can send me an email. My name is Trung, T-R-U-N-G, at ampio.ai. So ampio.ai. And just my first name. That's how you can get a hold of me.
Awesome. So folks, definitely reach out to them. They're doing some great work around AI and performance, because, again, our world has changed since 2019. And you know, you're going to hear a lot of amazing story from Trung in terms of how 2020 impacted him and his work as well. So Trung, with that being said, you know, a big part of our podcast folks is, you know, on bringing amazing people like you on and having you tell your story about how you overcame obstacles. And what 2020 was a huge and challenging time for you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the major obstacle that took place with you guys and your company during 2020?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur because you're passionate about something, right? You want to try and make a difference. You want to make a product that actually changes the world and how we live in it, right? And for me, that project was a human performance tool that helped athletes get better, run faster, jump higher, shoot the ball better. And you know, 2020 kind of told me that just because this is your dream doesn't mean it's your reality, right? Sure. And so from a standpoint, you know, I was thinking through, like, you know, the week in March, I think it was the second or third week in March. It was during the, you know, the Big Ten Championship. Maryland was going up to the NCAA tournament. They just tied the Big Ten champion. And R.C. Buford, who was the CEO of the Spurs, went to see them. And after that, he came to my house. I remember that because he drove him in a limousine, and that doesn't happen in my neighborhood. and so we talked for a while about a project he and I were thinking about doing, right? A significant project over the course of a year and a half, looking at shooting mechanics and how to improve shooters in the NBA. And then, you know, 2020 and COVID being COVID, right? I saw, like, everything I was working towards in regards to sports performance pretty much dry up and disappear. Wow. I mean, we had studies with Maryland, UCLA, Cal Poly, and all those went away because the school shut down. Wow. We saw the NBA shut down, so the project we were doing with the Spurs was gone. And so you sit there, you know, you have a dream, yes. And you're passionate about and trying to make something happen. And all of a sudden, reality tells you that's not going to happen. I mean, yeah. You can't run a company for a year with no customers, right. No feedback. You can't even build a product, right? Kind of thing, because no one's talking. Everyone's, you know, dealing with horrific problems of their own, right? And so, you know, you have as a person, you know, two options, right? You can give up.
Yeah.
Or you can find a different way. And, you know, I think a lot of people get stubborn. They say, oh, I'm a sports performance guy. That's the only thing I'm going to do. And I'm going to keep pushing through. And we said, you know, performance is a big word, right? It's not just sports performance, but all of us have to perform every day.
Yeah.
And what you want is a product that actually addresses a big market, that you can actually diversify so that, you know, in case something really bad happens, like all sports shutting down, right? You have someone else to sell to, someone else to kind of work with. And so we said, okay, you know, let's kind of think through that. You know, I was a little stubborn, towards the middle of the year, I was trying to do some work for Equinox where we're trying to help gyms go to remote gym training,
sure.
remote personal training. Now the gyms had issues of their own, not unsimilar to the sports team, stuff like that, because they were closed, sure. trying to figure out how to reopen and all that stuff. And so that market really dried up, and we just realized sports performance altogether was not going to happen in the short term, right?
Trunk, before you go ahead, I want everyone to really get a grasp of what you just said there. You were a sports performance company at the beginning of 2020. You had things lined up with the San Antonio Spurs, with the University of Maryland, and with other collegiate organizations across the country. And within 1 month, all of those things went bye-bye.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Let me ask you this question here, Trunk. You know, we hear that. Talk to us about, because there's some other organizations out there and other people who are listening. They probably had a very similar experience. Talk to us about the feelings that came over you as you watched these projects that were looking very promising all of a sudden go bye-bye. What were the emotions that you had to deal with?
My first feeling was panic.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I feel a strong obligation to my employees, and laying them off in the middle of a pandemic is probably not the nice thing you can do to somebody, right?
Sure.
And so the first priority was, you know, how do I keep the doors open long enough to keep these guys paid so that they have a job in the long term? And then the second thing is, you know, what do I do? I mean, that's a real gut punch, because, you know, you like, I really want to do this, but there's no way I can do it, right? Sure. And I said, you know, we tried a little bit with gyms and stuff like that. And if there's no way you can do it, you know, you have to pivot. You have to go find something else. But it's hard to accept. It's hard to accept, you know, there's the denial, you know, grief. They call it stages of grief, right? Yeah. It really is, because, you know, when a dream dies, right, you got, you know, you're grieving for it just as much. You're in denial. But eventually you have to figure out, okay, I got knocked down. I need to get up, right? And I need to get up realistically, right? I can be sad and feel sorry for myself. And, you know, certainly, you know, it's not my fault everything went away, right? It might have been easier to accept that it was. But the pandemic's the one that slapped me in the face. And so, you know, but I'm not the only one being slapped in the face. There's lots of people out there. So the question is really, who's going to help me? And the answer is me, right? I have to get up and find a new way. And that's really, that really, really was hard, you know, especially during the pandemic when you're isolated from other people. I was alone. So you get all the thoughts in your heads about, you know, what could we do different, or what could have done to avoid what happened. But really, you know, what thing taught me was that the past is the past.
Yes.
The more you dwell on the past, it doesn't help you any, because you can't change it. Absolutely. I can't go back and change the pandemic not happening. Right.
Right.
And so the question is, you know, okay, I can't change the past. What did I learn from it?
Yes.
And how do I move forward? Because that's the only thing that really matters, is what you do next, right? If someone punches you, knocks you down, you know, you can either stay down or you can get back up. And I thought, you know, I'm not ready to give up yet, you know? And so that's really kind of where it sat for me. And that's the emotions I felt. I felt the panic. I felt depression, I you know, denial. And eventually I said, you know, I can moan about it more, or I can get up and try to do something. That's really what ended up happening.
You know, Trung, that is so powerful. And I really appreciate you being transparent and honest about that, because oftentimes we're not transparent about the emotions that kind of we feel that kind of come over us as we go through challenging times. So you mentioned being in isolation as well. So as you were making this pivot to expand your products to be broader than just the sports arena, did you have any mentors or guides or sound people who you were able to sound your ideas off of during this time to kind of help you with that pivot?
Absolutely. I think that's important. You have to have a support system, right? Because if you're sitting there just listening to your own head, that's not good, right? And so you want ideas that people bounce off of. And we have a pretty strong advisory board, right? I have a lot of good personal friends who have been successful and entrepreneurs. I wouldn't necessarily call them mentors. I think they're people that talk down the same path I have. And one of them, Brad Spires, is a VP over at JPMorgan Chase. He said, that's what being an entrepreneur is. It's the roller coaster ups and downs, right? If you think you're always going up, you're wrong. It's a lot of just your ability to kind of deal with the downs, right? Yeah. Because, eventually downs become ups, and then it's a question of perseverance. You don't want to quit just before things turn around. And that's kind of the idea that that those guys kind of put in my head, is that, don't give up. Mm-hmm. Try as many things as you can, right? And that most people who invest in companies invest in people.
Sure.
They don't invest in ideas, because ideas change, right? Things pivot. And the question that you, as an entrepreneur, are you able to meet the market? Everyone wants to control the world, right? I mean, I'd love to be the guy in charge. Well, I mean, be God and say, this is what's going to happen, and I'm going to make it all work my way. But the reality is, I'm not God. I mean, I'm not in that kind of control. And so the question is, am I willing to face reality?
Yes.
Right. And if I'm not, that's the biggest thing you taught me. You have to face reality. You really have to face that you're not going to be a physical performance company, right? Sure. You may 2 years from now, but when everything gets back to normal in regards to gyms and sports stuff and everything like that, but it's not today. And so you have to make a change. You have to meet reality. And that was really helpful from there.
That was very smart. And kudos for listening and taking advice from those folks that are around you to help you kind of get beyond that. So let me ask you this, Trunk. So on your darkest day, what kept you motivated to keep fighting? Because you could have certainly gave up and said, I'm going to close the doors and I'm done with this thing. But you stayed at it. You kept with it. On your darkest day, what kept you motivated to keep going forward?
I think some of it is stubbornness and not wanting to fail.
Yeah.
I don't want to be known as a loser who kind of failed and kind of closed this company. I think the other big motivation is, all my employees were remote and they were struggling too. I mean, a couple of them were in New York, and that was like one of the worst places to be at the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah. There's horrific numbers and stuff like that. And I thought, if I let this thing fail and if I start laying them off, right, that's just, adding fuel to the fire, right? What am I going to do? How can I, help, save as many of these jobs, as many of these people as I can, so that, I'm just not being the additional thing to pile on, right? I mean, we worked something out where we kind of modified salaries a bit for a period of time. But, it was better than being one of the main people, like, waiters, waitresses, people, even tech companies are just gone, right? They just got laid off because I was cutting costs. And so, I didn't want to be that person. I done a little bit too much of that when I was in Silicon Valley, right? Sure. And, and people matter and people are your talent. And you want to build a relationship with your employees so that, they feel like they're needed. And the first time of trouble, you dump them. That's not really a good sign of relation, not really a good sign of character, right? Absolutely. For you or for the people that stayed, right? So that's the motivating factor too, is that, I don't want to be a failure. And I don't want to let these people down are two things that drove me.
Absolutely. And that's powerful. And again, kudos to you for stepping up and meeting the challenge there. So how would you, as you look back on this ordeal, how would you say that it shaped you as a person?
Well, my level of panic has changed, right? It's like at some point, your reactions to surprise, this year, 2020 and 2021 certainly have their share of things that are crazy, And I think what it taught me to be a little calmer, right? Yeah. Not to kind of get down on myself. The world's going to do what the world does, right? And, as much as I can get angry about it, right? Or blame someone else, go on social media and start screaming at people for why you shut down the NBA or something like that, right? I think, it's the idea is, okay, the only thing I can really affect, the only thing I change is me, right? And that's what I needed to do. And I think that kind of attitude's kind of helped me this year as we went through things. you know, we may shut down again this fall. Who knows, right?
Absolutely, kind of thing. Yeah.
But, you know, make sure that, you know, I have some preparations. I know what to do to kind of handle things as we go forward. And really kind of say, okay, things are going to happen. You can't get upset about them. Just one day at a time. And absolutely, if an asteroid hits the Earth next week, you know, we'll figure it out, right? You know, we just have to go figure it out, right?
You know, and that's great. That's a great perspective to have, though. So, Trung, as you look back now, we're in 2021. Would you do anything differently?
Yeah, I think, you know, I wouldn't spend too much feeling sorry for myself, that's for sure, right? But there's a little bit of, you know, of time that it takes, and, you know, and there's a little bit of stubbornness. You know, like I said, you know, I, instead of pivoting to overall performance and dealing with the mental and emotional aspects of performance, mm-hmm. I still wanted to just kind of stick around with the physical side. I stick with the technology that we had that allows you to assess physical movement, right? Mm-hmm. And so I wasted a bunch of time trying to get back into gyms. Sure. But the reality is the gyms were suffering. Right? They were losing my hand over fist, millions of dollars a month. And the thought that they would, you know, spend money to kind of retrofit all their systems, you know, when they're losing millions of dollars, just was unrealistic, right? Sure. It was just, me clinging on to the dream a little bit longer than I had to, right, or should have. I think if I'd done that differently, I pivoted earlier and faster towards the other side of it, for sure.
That's a great outcome to look back and see. You know, so Trung, as we're coming off of 2020, there are still a lot of folks out there who are licking their wounds from 2020. There are people out there who've lost loved ones, lost finances, lost material possessions, have lost faith and hope. What message of hope can you provide those folks out there listening with to let them know that a better day is going to come?
Yeah, I think, you know, you know, I'm a man of faith, so I believe that there is hope, right? That's the whole point of being a Christian. There's hope out there. But from my standpoint, you know, it's if you're still breathing, if you're still a heartbeat in your body, right?
Yes.
You can do something, right? And if you're like homeless on the street, you're in a gutter or whatever it is, right, kind of thing, you can't change your past. You can't change where you came from, right? That's simply the story you told me about yourself, and you just can't do that. The question is, you know, you can feel sorry for yourself. You can blame the world, yeah, or you can say, hey, I can make a difference, because, you know, every day there's new opportunities, yes, right? And you have to be open to those opportunities, open to things. You know, you don't always get what you want, mm-hmm. but you generally get what you need. Mm-hmm. And so the question really comes down to is, are you willing to accept that, right? Or are you waiting for something that doesn't happen? And so I say, you know, as long as you're alive, there's always a chance.
Yes.
You know, there's always a chance for something to come out better, that the, you know, there'll be a new dawn and stuff like that, right? You know, the world's not going to end, right? I mean, and, you know, you still have an opportunity to make a change and make a difference. And, you know, and that's really kind of the hope I see, is that, you know, as long as there's an opportunity to do something, right, there's always hope, right? When you're at a point when there's nothing left for you to do and you're doomed, yeah, you may be able to give up hope, but in my mind, there's always something you can do, always something you can change. And if that's true, then there is hope, because I've gone through good times in my life, gone through bad times in my life, right? And if you just give up, you're never going to get beyond where you are. You're always be in the gutter, right?
That's right.
But if you're willing to step forward, there's hope to do a lot of different things. There's yourself, there's lots of stories of people, mm-hmm. Who just pick themselves up and say, okay, my circumstances are garbage. You know, I'm not right. happy with what's going on, but, you know, I can't change that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't rule the world. I can't change time. I'm not Marvel. I can't go back in time, you know, with multiverse and stuff like that. Right. I have to live where I am. And if that's true, then I can do a lot of things. That's what people forget. You know, people have infinite potential.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of potential to do a lot of different things, the things that you may not even think you're able to do. Right.
Absolutely.
And a lot of it's just belief that you can do it. Right. And so, if you believe in your potential, you believe in that as a human, you can accomplish a lot of things. I mean, we went to the moon, we fly airplanes now, you know, we talk across miles, right? You know, and video chats and stuff like that. All that's because someone decided that they can do something different, right? And so you're just as much a human being as me, right? So you have just as much potential, just as much ability to do something. So that's your hope. Your hope is being a human being, right? And human beings are amazing.
Yes.
As you remember that, then there's always hope.
Wow, I love it. What a great message. What a great perspective to have, folks. I hope you are very inspired by Trans, that's a tongue tied up. Okay,
no worries.
Story is absolutely amazing, and hope you've been inspired by it as well. And again, Trung, if people want to reach out to you, what's the best way to get a hold of you as well?
Sure. My name is Trung again, Trung at Amplio, Amplio.ai. We are in the midst of a fundraising raise with Republic.co. So yeah, if you're interested in investing in our company, we wanted to kind of let anyone who could and want to invest. So, definitely reach out to me. If you're interested in what we're doing and how we're trying to help people get ready to perform, please think about the Republic.co platform and invest in us if you're willing.
That is awesome. Yeah, definitely reach out and invest. Great company, great perspective, great leader at the helm, leading this project as well. So it's amazing here. So Trung, we've had a chance to talk about some tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun?
Sure, I'll have a little fun, sure.
All right, good. So this portion of our show is called a rapid fire purpose questions, okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna ask you some questions around purpose. I'm not gonna elaborate on any of the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your most succinct answer to each question.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready to go.
All right, here we go. So Trung, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
So I think, the best way to do that is to figure out what the steps are to make it reality, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people want to go from 0 to 60 in like 2 seconds, be an overnight success. And really most of the stories aren't like that. And so sitting down and planning what it takes, what skills you need to get to where you want to go, I think is the most important thing. That's kind of how I kind of made a dream into a reality, is really understanding those steps and what's involved and spending time doing that, right? I don't want you to say that we overplan or anything like that, but really think about, what you need to do, because your path through from dream to success is really based on your choices. Absolutely. And if you make uninformed choices, right, then you're going to get yourself in trouble. So as much as you can, get yourself informed of what you need to do to get to where you want to go.
Awesome, awesome. Trung, what gives your life meaning?
I think the idea of I always joke that, I wish I was born a woman because women can give birth to life, right? The only thing I do is create things. That's what made me an engineer, like creating things and making things work. And that's kind of what brings me joy. I remember one of the best times in my life, I was walking through a mall in San Jose, California, where I used to live in Silicon Valley. And it was their Apple store there. And Apple had just switched over to Intel processors, iMacs and the notebooks and all that stuff, right? The iBooks. And I pointed to my girlfriend at the time, Taylor, that I designed the chip that's in every one of those processors. There was a clocking chip that we had built for Apple specifically. And that was kind of a proud moment for me where, if I was able to give birth to an idea, to a product, to something that, is in there in the world, that's something you always can point to, even as you get older.
That's awesome. I love it. Trung, what one word best describes you?
I think always, one word, a student. I'm always trying to learn. I think that the minute you think you know everything, that you have the answers for everything, you're in trouble. I hope to have the right questions. Yes. And I'm always trying to figure out if I do or not. Right? And so I think we always kind of expand ourselves. And then, keep asking questions. And the minute you lose your curiosity, I think you lose kind of your ability to move forward, right?
Awesome. I love it. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Ride my bike. Okay. I think there was a certain amount of freedom involved in, the air rushing through your face and going to different areas. Especially as a kid, you can't drive a car, right? And and walking is kind of a pain. So, just being able to explore it and get into nature, get into there's a park next to my house, Sibley Park. And, you run around that park and kind of just this the whole wonder thing. That's why, when I look at my niece, I mean, I think this is amazing how kids kind of see the world, not the jaded way we see it. We complain about air pollution. They're looking at the flowers, they're looking at the water. And it's just all a sense of wonder. And I think that's kind of what I enjoyed when I was a little kid. Exploring things, riding my bike around and just experiencing the wonder of new things, right? That I hadn't thought about before.
Awesome. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
It's funny. My parents are very Asian parents, so there was always an idea of what I was going to do for my life. And at the time, my mom had told me I was going to be an engineer, right? Ooh. And I, for the longest time, thought that was the person that ran the train. So I was playing around a lot with like train tests and stuff like that. Cause you know, I thought my mom thinks I should be an engineer. So I should figure out how to ride a train or drive a train. Right. And obviously, you know, being an engineer is that's not what she intended when she said that. Right. You know, not a train engineer, but like a technical engineer. And so it's so I think that's what I was thinking I was going to do. Right. And so that's just kind of a funny thing. I actually never did that. I've never driven a train, but but yeah, it was funny when I was 15.
Awesome. Who inspires you the most?
You know, that's a hard thing to say. You know, I think, you know, if just the drive he has, not necessarily his personality, I would think of Elon Musk, right? Because he keeps dreaming. He keeps on looking to see what's over the horizon. Mm-hmm. He's not doesn't have the best personality where he is kind of a jerk to people, right? But the you know I admire that about him. In regards to like someone that's I think is super thoughtful and really cares for the world, my former director at DARPA, RT Prabhakar, right? She ran DARPA when I was there, and she's just started an institute trying to look at ethical ways to develop technology. You know, because technology can be good or bad. I mean, you look at what happened in Africa when we brought in modern farming techniques, and we stripped the soil off of the Sahara and caused desertification that caused massive suffering on the African continent. You know, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Sure.
And that's I think that's important. And I think I really admire Arthi for really running with that and really thinking about it.
That's awesome. I love it. Trung, if you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Actually, I thought about this a lot today. I'm a big Marvel fan. You know, I think, you know, I think it'd be like, you know, like someone like Tony Stark, where, you know, you're just really brilliant and able to kind of create things and kind of do things. You know, I think, you know, Superman just, you know, can fly and hit things, right? But, you know, Tony Stark can make a ton of things, right? You know, Iron Man suits, you name it, right? And technologies are great. And I think that's the thing that I admire most is someone who has, I say, a big brain, you know, that's able to kind of see through the clutter and make something useful.
Yeah. If you became president today, Trung, what law would you pass first?
I would pass a law that says people can't scream at each other on the internet, right? That, you know, that we're not all right and we can't yell at people because we disagree with them, right? You know, so some kind of like, act where, you know, people just have to start being kind.
Yeah.
Because I think we're all we are rabble rousers these days, right? We just try to incite the mob and go after people and stuff like that. And I think there's just a little bit too much power because of the internet platform for people to do that. And it's I would pass a law to try to help us a little bit more civil, right?
I love it. You would get my vote, my man. You would get my vote for sure. Yeah.
I appreciate that, Tommy.
Yeah. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
If I had to follow someone around for a day, I would think, it's a good question. You know, there's a person that I admire a lot. He's been working on the pandemic and he's done a lot of research in it. Right now, I just blanked on his name, but he's at UCSF and he's done a lot of work on trying to figure out, you know, how to help people. And I think it'd be interesting to be in the room.
Sure.
You know, when you look at, there used to be a game online about how to handle pandemics. And if you try to save everyone's life, you end up costing more lives. Mm-hmm. They did those simulations of the Ebola event that happened in Africa with the SARS event. And it's interesting to see, you know, in that context, how you as a person have to make those kind of life and death decisions and try to figure out what the right policy is and all that stuff. I think interesting to follow someone around like that, that, you know, he's New York State's, lead on the pandemic. And so he's something that, you know, be interesting just to see a day in his life, because especially during the pandemic here, it's got to have been terrible and it's got to have been super interesting and everything that's going on, right? So I follow him around. I forget his name. I'll say it to you later. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
I think try something. Yeah. I'm willing to try anything. I think the the idea is that, you know, you only get so much time on this earth, right? And if you don't try something, you'll never learn what it is. Like, you know, where it's like bees in China, eating bees. It's an interesting experience, right? Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but it was something I need to learn and try. So from my standpoint, that's always the case, you know, just being open to experiences and just trying everything you can, right? And because you never know where something will lead. You know, the minute you close the door, that door is closed, right? You keep yourself open and try anything you can.
Yes, I love it. Sean, what does success look like for you?
You know, for me, you know, it's never been about money or like a fancy car. Or, you know, I have a Prius and my house has solar panels on and stuff like that, you know. And so the question really comes down to is, you know, I think how much impact you have, right? And, you know, you don't have to impact the entire world or move anything. You can just have an impact on one person's life, maybe your kid's life, you know, maybe a friend's life or something like that. And if you've done that, you've done something good. I think that's what success is. And so what we're trying to do with my company is try to impact a lot of people in regards to how they perform and, you know, how they feel about themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, especially during the pandemic, we worry that, you know, there's a lot of mental health issues and people are feeling afraid and down. And if, you know, we can just get people to kind of think of themselves better, and I had that impact where I've changed the person's life around a little bit, mm-hmm. I think that's a huge amount of success for me.
Awesome. I love it. Sean, what's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life so far?
That everyone kind of thinks it's easy to stand up after you get knocked down.
Yeah.
It hurts. It hurts a lot. And it's tough. And I think people kind of downplay a little bit when they tell you, you know, keep it a stiff upper chin, or, you know, you can do anything you want. You know, you could, but it takes time, it takes effort, and it hurts, you know? And so, I learned that a little bit riding a bike, but, you know, as through life, you know, you realize that, you know, there are struggles, right? I mean, nothing's going to be handed to you. And so you have to be willing to kind of take the lumps, right? And that's the biggest thing I learned.
That's a great lesson to learn. And then last but not least, Trung, how do you want to be remembered in history?
Well, I don't know if I have those big grandiose dreams. I think, you know, I like to be remembered as kind of like a person who made an impact, a person who cared, right?
Yes.
You know, I don't have to, you know, run this country or take over the world or anything like that, right? Or be the richest person. But someone who made an impact in his local community, you know, and people around him, right? You know, that I like the term, you know, you're better when after you knew somebody, right, kind of thing, that you were a better person just because you knowing them. I like to think that if I was remembered, that people would say that about me, that just knowing me was enough, you know, to want them to be a better person. I inspired them, right, kind of thing. And I think that would be awesome to remember that way, as someone who inspires people and help them, you know, think beyond themselves.
Wow, that is awesome. Trung, give yourself a round of applause. You survived, my man. Great job. Thank you.
I appreciate it. No questions.
Great job. I really appreciate that. Hey, very humble guy. Folks out there, I hope you have been inspired by Trung Tran's story. Very amazing guy. Looking for to do some great things in the AI world. Again, Trung, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of you one more time?
Sure. So my email is Trung, T-R-U-N-G, at ampio.ai.
Yes.
And just a reminder, we are raising money on Republic.co. So if you're interested, feel free to invest.
Become an investor. Absolutely. Great opportunity out there as well. So Trung, as we go to wrap things up here, the focus of our podcast centers on two things, resiliency and purpose. What last words can you leave our listeners with around resiliency and purpose?
Now, resiliency and purpose are really tied together. You don't stick through something unless there's a reason for it, right? There's a purpose, you know. And so the question really is you got to find the purpose that allows you to be resilient. Like you asked me earlier, you know, like what would help me through the pandemic? And I said, you know, not wanting to be a failure and make sure my employees were paid. That's the purpose, right? And that purpose made me resilient because I didn't want those things to fail. So I think that the most important thing to leave everyone with is find a purpose that you're willing to die for or work really hard for, and then you'll be resilient. You won't give up on it.
Yes, right? That is fantastic, phenomenal. Folks, I hope you guys have been inspired by this podcast. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, review it, share with your folks on social media. And if you're looking to be a sponsor, we want you to reach out to us at tawatson.com. And again, I want to thank everyone else out there for joining us today. Truong Chan, thank you very much for joining me and the work you're doing. Everyone else out there, God bless. Peace.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.